Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno, The Footnotes. This week we are joined by a pretty special guest to James, Alice and I. She is a star of some of our favourite childhood films, the triumvirate of Mrs. Doubtfire, Miracle on 34th Street and Matilda herself. It's Mara Wilson.
Woo. Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
We are so excited, Mara.
Yeah, I noticed actually that in one of the first episodes, when we were talking about the name Rocky Flintstone, you said it's like combining one of your favorite characters with your favorite names. And you said, so mine would be Matilda Doubtfire.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh, I feel, yeah, I got such a warm, fuzzy feeling when I heard that. So
I sort of stopped watching films after you stopped making them. So that's like the extent of my movie knowledge.
Honestly, this is probably the best day of my life.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad to be a part of this. It's just so funny. And it's so many things that I love. And it's brought me a lot of joy and a lot of things I hate, too. But I love sort of like dad culture.
Yeah.
Although I can't imagine. I mean, I love my father, but he's a very gentle and very genteel man. And he would never do anything like this. Probably just the idea of it would be too much for him.
Mara, I thought that as well.
So what are the things that you hate about it?
Okay, anything with food and sex kind of grosses me out because I just feel like that's, and this is actually a phrase I say a lot, that's a yeast infection waiting to happen. That's just not healthy. And I don't think food and sex, I mean, actually one of the first like erotic books I ever read was, and it wasn't even really erotic, it was romantic, was Like Water for Chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
I was 13. And yeah, that book is all about food and sex. And at 13, I was like, wow, this is really hot. And then I got a little bit older and I was like, in real life, all those things would probably be a big mess and you'd have to clean it up and
yeah,
it would be
exactly.
Really gross.
The cleanup is, yeah. I think about that a lot.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to spoil things for future episodes, but chocolate is about to feature in a very, real way. I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Maybe skip that episode.
Spaghetti bolognese was terrible enough, but no, chocolate. Right.
I'm just amazed you were reading porn at 13 years old.
Well, it's not explicit, but there is definitely sex happening in it.
So any other particular highlights or lowlights?
I really loved the stuff with the Duchess. But I think a lot of my favorite parts have been Rocky's attitudes towards Americans in general.
Oh, yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, it's very, very clear how he feels about Americans. And I mean, we're not exactly in good standing with the rest of the world right now, so I understand. But this was already written a few years ago, so...
No, I know. Height of Obama. What was he thinking?
All of his American characters are caricatures.
Right.
Like, Jim Sterling is just... And the thing is, I'm not sure if it was suggested. I think somebody must have suggested at some point that Danny DeVito could play him in a movie.
Yeah.
The thing is, Danny has a very, very good sense of humor about himself and is always up for doing weird shit. So honestly, I heard that and I was like, and it made me a little uncomfortable, but I was like, yeah, Danny would actually probably love to do that.
Really? Do you reckon he'd be up for playing Jim Sterling?
He plays the weirdest parts. I mean, I don't know if you've seen him on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. There's a scene where he climbs nude out of a couch cushion. he's a werewolf who appears, you know, totally nude in Big Fish.
Oh, yeah.
He just likes he really does like doing the weird shit, and he has a great sense of humor about himself, and he's a really nice guy. And so honestly, he would probably hear this and be like, this is amazing. I don't want to, like, you know, be like, oh yeah, Danny would totally go for that, and Danny be like, what the hell, Mara? But he's like my fun uncle, you know. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Matilda, I mean, I have just mostly happy memories of filming it. It felt kind of like summer camp to me.
Was it before or after Mrs. Doubtfire? Was it like...
It was after Mrs. Doubtfire. I can kind of remember it, but I was 5 years old at the time.
Alice does the lisp often.
I often do, but it smells funny and then you skip the parts. It's so cute. I've often tried to use that in like job interviews and things where I want to endear people to me.
Alice is currently unemployed.
I think it was Robin's suggestion to add she smells funny too. But yeah, a lot of the lines there were his suggestions. So that one was good too. But I also embarrassed myself a lot because I was five and didn't know what I was doing. Like the day that my mom gave me the sex talk, and the next day I came to work and asked one of the makeup artists if she had done it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I think I actually started singing, I know about sex. I know about sex. And I looked over and I saw Robin and Chris Columbus, and Robin was in full Doubtfire drag talking about how I had been, you know, like, did you hear Mara was asking Virginia about sex? And her name was Virginia, which just made it even better.
Yeah.
And then once I actually, I don't know, gained some more cognitive capacity, I would lay at night thinking about that. Just being
oh God,
like,
yeah.
I love that universally singing, I know about sex, means you generally don't know about sex.
it's definitely not a song Rocky could sing, isn't it?
His birthday is coming up, right?
It is. Well done.
Yeah, I think that you should get him an anatomy manual.
That's a great gift idea. I struggle every year what to get my dad. Obviously, now he's like a porn baron. What do you get the man who has everything / nothing? So that's a good idea.
And maybe like bookmark the pages that he needs to look at. But it also, I mean, it's sort of the part of the charm / horror of the books that he doesn't know these things. I actually have to say that another thing I really love are his Q&As that make no sense.
Oh my God, honestly. Try having dinner with him. Honestly, Mara.
I would love having dinner with him, but the whole time I would just be, in my head, I would just be thinking, what the hell are you on about?
That's pretty much what it's like.
Yeah, one of my favorite things, and I think I cried laughing talking about this, and is that they ask him, what's with the symbols?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God.
And I like that Steph King, told him that it's all about, you know, incorporating symbols into your work. And he took that literally.
He means characters and weird runes, quite literally.
Who'd have thought that subtlety would be lost on Rocky Flintstone? I mean, it's so bizarre.
It's just so literal. I also, you know, I don't know if you know this, but in America, Angie Harmon, the actress that he imagines to play her, she's known for being one of the most politically conservative actresses in Hollywood.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah. A lot of people just like straight out don't like her because she's Republican.
There goes Dad's vote.
So I don't know if she would be game.
Yeah, he has picked the wrong pinup girl there, clearly.
Yeah, I've been thinking for a while. I'm like, who could play Belinda?
Let's talk honestly, okay?
Yeah.
Is the Belinda Blinked movie the film that could bring you out of retirement? Can you see yourself as Belinda?
Well, the thing is, I've acted in a few things. I was on that show Broad City. I do a lot of voiceover work.
BoJack.
Still. Yeah, I love doing voiceover work. So if there's any voiceover in Belinda Blinked, for sure.
You
but,
could be her clit.
Oh my God. That would actually be amazing.
Mara Wilson is the clit.
That would be, that would actually be amazing. I would love that. I've had a very low voice for a very long time. I can be sexy characters. I can be villains. I can be old ladies. I can be all kinds of things just in voiceover. And I love that.
We'll have to workshop the clit then. We'll have to figure out exactly what the clit's voice is.
Yeah.
Talking of accents, what do you think of, Jamie's brought a lot of characters now to the book, a lot of accents. What do you think of them all?
I like them. I'm impressed with the American accents sometimes. it kind of comes and goes.
Yeah.
Some of the accents, the Russian one was not very good.
Okay.
A lot of the foreign language ones have not been very good, but I do think I am kind of impressed. I was like, oh, that American actually isn't that bad.
To be fair though, Mara, like, I'm not really a trained actor in any way. And also,
really? What do you mean not really?
I'm not at all.
Go on, make excuses, yeah.
And also, the accents are supposed to be bad. That's the whole point. Like, these books
are
bad. The accents are bad. Yes, of course they are.
You can, okay, that can be your defense. That can be your defense. Yes.
Your Brazilian one this week was particularly came under fire because you added a lisp to it.
Yeah, because I thought it'd be funny, but obviously no one really gets the joke. But it's all right. It's fine. I can take it. I have a thick skin.
It does seem a bit exhausting. I am amazed by the stamina and the. And the amount of energy everybody in this book has.
Oh, I know, people right? are nonstop rabbits. Like, they just don't even take a breath for, you know, feeding or cleaning themselves.
Sometimes they don't sleep.
And nobody ever has a hangover.
I know, yeah, exactly.
I think this is Rocky's idea of utopia. Utopia is a relative concept. Maybe this is his utopia. Everybody's pansexual. Everybody's drunk all the time, but never hungover. It does feel like it's still sort of like London in the 70s. But it is kind of like a baby boomer's idea of like what utopia is.
Exactly.
I am very curious about Rocky. I'm very, very curious about who he is and how he got this way. I don't know. I mean, I do think that the legacy of Rocky Flintstone will probably live on forever.
Are you trying to wangle an invite to the pavilion here, Mara?
You know, I haven't been to the UK in a while, but yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's no way he knows who I am at all. I mean,
are you kidding me? Matilda is the biggest film in our house. My three sisters and I used to watch it religiously. Go, Brucey, go! Oh, my goodness. He slithered like a serpent into the kitchen. We could honestly do the whole thing.
Well, that's really good. That's really flattering. I'm glad that he is a part of it. I think, you know, Pam Ferris is another person who I feel like would be great in the movie.
Because she played the Trunchbull in Matilda.
She was the Trunchbull, yes. And she is the kindest person I've ever met.
We need a good role for her then. Could she play Pam? Who's Pam good for?
I mean, the obvious thing would be the Duchess, but
it would be the Duchess, but Daisy Ridley has called her already.
Helga
could be good.
She'd be a good Helga, actually,
in all the woolen.
Yeah.
And didn't Helga have her own chokey that she just lived in a corner of the office?
She did.
In a cupboard.
This makes so much sense. This must be what it feels like to be a great casting director when you find the right person for a role.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I realized that all of the actresses that I went out like on parts with, people like Kristen Stewart and Alia Shawkat and Evan Rachel Wood, all of us, we all went out for each other's parts and we all looked different. But I looked back at us and I was like, we all either grew up to be gay or bisexual. Casting directors know what they're doing.
We need bisexual people for this film. So if you know anyone, like everyone just has sex with everyone. So
everybody's just kind of pansexual and everybody's just kind of like, I liked that Peter Rouse's wife was very open to the idea because the idea of cheating and the idea of using sex as like a weapon to hurt people, that always has bothered me. So I like the idea that Christina is just all for it.
Exactly.
People in this book, they're just bonobos. That's what they are. They just use sex to communicate with each other. And one of my brothers actually studied primatology, so he has a lot of books on apes and primates, because bonobos just use sex to communicate with each other, to like commune with each other, to every, yeah, they like greet each other by like touching penises and things. And that's kind of what I feel like. I feel like I'm at the zoo when I listen to Melinda Blake.
That is the best assessment I've ever heard.
I mean, there are like arguments and there are books out there that say like we human beings are more like bonobos. We should all just be, you know, into this free love kind of world. But like, yeah. Belinda Blink kind of is that. It's all problems are solved using sex.
They are. Exactly. It's like problems, like rewards.
Business deals. Exactly. You
everything.
Name it.
It's the currency for everything.
So maybe this is set in the future where, I don't know, where we've devolved a bit back to bonobos.
Yeah.
So would you think that the representation of bisexuality in these books is accurate? Like, what do you reckon?
I know. Well, for some people find more people attractive when they're bisexual. I'm still picky. So it just means that there's more than one gender that I'm bad at dating. But there are people who are bi or pansexual who are just kind of like interested in everybody and right. interested in all kinds of people. And to them it might be, but yeah, but it isn't just, I think this world is kind of interesting in itself where, and I do think in some ways it is kind of forward where people are just sort of incidentally, you know, pan or bisexual and it is like not considered a thing.
Yeah.
And that is actually kind of nice where it's just like, oh yeah, of course we assumed you would be into these people and you would be, and everybody's just kind of attracted to everyone. And that is actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
But I have been arguing that we need more boring bisexual representation. Yeah, because a lot of people are you know, they're villains, they're evil, or they're super sexy. And I mean, I'm just like sitting here, you know, drinking tea and like, you know, trying to get my cats to come over.
Or they're Bella, to be fair. And
oh,
Bella God, is none of those things.
Or their Bella, who is, Bella's amazing. I do. I love Bella's accent.
Oh, thanks.
Mara, it sounds like you're getting tired. You're not making any sense.
You've gone mad.
No, I do though, because she's such a character. Although I do think it is very weird that your father based her on somebody you knew.
I know.
But I think we all have a friend like Bella.
Everyone's got a Bella.
I think this book is also a great example of how writing fiction can be more revealing than writing nonfiction.
So true.
It's not even like what his sexual fantasies are, but just like what he thinks is sexy, which nobody thinks is sexy, or what he thinks is fun and interesting, which is, you know, wine and turkey sandwiches.
Mm. You're so right. We shouldn't get criminals to write confessions. We should get them to write porn and it will reveal everything.
Exactly. It reveals so much.
Well, you know what your homework is, Mara. You got to ring Pam, you got to ring Danny, and give us those RSVPs for this filming.
I think, yeah. I wonder if Danny has listened to it yet. I bet he would love it.
I love the idea that we might be bringing you all back together. You, Danny, and Pam.
Yeah, that would actually be amazing.
The Matilda reunion in porn.
Yes.
God.
Can you imagine the headlines?
From you to 18.
I do like to say that I feed off ruined childhoods, so, you know.
Well, Mara, thank you so, so much for coming on My Dad Wrote Porn of the Footnotes. It's been amazing having you. You've kind of made our lives.
Yes.
I feel like we're going to wake up in the morning and be like, did we really just do that? Like, was that a real thing?
This has been so much fun. Like, this is such a fun show and it's so ridiculous. And yes, I have spread the good word of Rocky and I will continue to do so.
Thank you so much for everything,
well,
for your life's work.
Thank you. It has all culminated in this moment, yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.